No angel in heaven, no one in heaven, in all of the universe was found worthy to open the book, touch the book, hold the book, except one person. Who is that? Jesus Christ our Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. Pastor Bill's study of Revelation continues today. So now here's Pastor with today's message, The Mystery of God.
The book of Revelation is an incredible study. And remember the word revelation as I start out every sermon with this. The word apocalypse, it literally means the uncovering or the unveiling. And so when it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's literally the unveiling, uncovering of who he is. And we see him different in this book than we do the Gospels. He is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And unfortunately, this book that is part of the canon is the only true book, really, you could say, completely dedicated to prophecy, is so neglected. And it's sad because God wants us to know what's coming. He wants us to know things future, amen, and not be afraid. And so that's why we have this book. Now, the last time in chapter 9, those 21 verses, frightening, unbelievable, oh, the horrible things that were happening on planet Earth. So the fifth and sixth trumpet judgments, they have sounded, okay? And we know when we left off, half of the world's population now was dead. We can't even begin to fathom or understand any of that. And we know from chapter, 9, verse 21, so they didn't repent. Mankind didn't repent of the works that they were doing. They didn't want anything to do with God. Now we enter in chapter 10, a pause, if you will, a divine pause, and it's the longest pause or interlude of any of the other events that happened. And so from chapter 10, verse 1 to chapter 11, verse 14 is a long pause. Now, in chapter 11, verse 15, the Lord willing, we'll cover it the next time. Then the seventh trumpet judgment begins. And when that starts, when that happens, the total collapse of Satan's world system, man, it is just going to be wiped out, okay? And that's the beginning of it. So with all that being said, it's interesting in chapter 10. Did you know that every verse starts with and or but? Well, why is that? And it seems like God is using these conjunctions, if you will, as we study this chapter to kind of move us along at a rapid pace. And I think, well, Lord, I hope I can teach this rapidly because this is a difficult chapter to teach. Amen. So from chapter 10, verse 1 to 13:1, okay, John now, beginning in chapter 10, it's a brand new vision for John. He is now on earth. And so you say, well, Bill, what vision is it? Well, in verses 1 through 7, we're going to see a mighty angel, a gigantic angel, if I may put it that way. And then in verses 8 through 11, that mysterious little book, and boy, it's going to be a study, The Mystery of God, beginning in verse 1. John writes in this new vision, he says, well, I saw still another, what kind of angel? Mighty angel coming down from heaven. Now, so the angel has come down from heaven to the earth, and look at his description, this magnificent description of this angel. It says, and he was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. Do you know that's the only angel in Scripture said to have had a rainbow on his head? Do a word study and prove me wrong. It would help me, okay? Now, and then it says a cloud, a rainbow on his head. And look at his face. His face was like the sun, his feet like pillars of fire. So this incredible description, boy, there's a lot of different expositors saying a lot of different things. But let's look again at his description, okay? So he's clothed with a cloud. I love what O. Utley, an expositor, said. He said, the cloud, the unique transportation of deity. Isn't that a cool thing to say? In other words, this cloud, remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, when Jesus, the resurrected Lord, when he rose from the dead, and then he, at Mount Olivet, he ascended to heaven, and it says he was received into a cloud, like a transportation going back home. In Revelation, what was it, 1:7, it says, the second coming, behold, Jesus, our Lord, he comes in or with the clouds. So, clothed with the cloud, there was a rainbow on his head. Now, you know what? If you look at the description of our Lord in chapter 4, verse 3, it says that there's a rainbow around the throne, a reminder of God's covenant that he made with Noah, never to destroy the world again by flood. It says faces or a face like the sun. If you go to chapter 1 in verse 16, you'll see that description of Jesus. Matter of fact, all these descriptions are similar to what Jesus' descriptions are, okay? And so look at the next one. Feet like pillar of fire. That's what it says about our Lord in chapter 1, verse 15. Like his feet were brass, like that speaks of judgment. Now, who is this mighty angel? Boy, there's so much controversy over that. I want to tell you who he is, okay? The mighty angel is a mighty angel. Okay, can you just leave it right there? Okay, because that's all we know. God doesn't tell us, is it Michael? Is it Gabriel? Who is it? No, he is just a mighty angel, and it literally means a mighty angel or a strong, powerful angel. And, you know, a mighty angel or strong angels mentioned, I think, 3 times in the book of Revelation. And then the word angels are mentioned 76 times in the book of Revelation. And every time an angel is mentioned in the book of Revelation, it's a angelos, angel, okay? And each one, not another name, but the word angelos, angel. Now, and they always speak of angels. But because of this magnificent description given to this angel, many, many, many great expositors, and I mean people that I love, I admire, they're excellent when they break down scripture, believe that this angel is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. And maybe you believe that, okay? And if you do, you stand well with many of the great men of God, okay, that have written wonderful commentaries and so forth, and you're in good company, okay? And like, again, I love and respect them. However, I don't hold that view. Now, that doesn't mean I'm right, but I am. But that doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean I'm right. But I hope to kind of show you why that I hold that view and so forth, because to me it seems to be an angel. You know, similarity does not make identity in Scripture. Did you know that? Okay, very important. So Jesus is never, no, never, no, never, ever, ever called an angel in the book of Revelation. Jesus is the Lord over the angels. Amen? Now, did you notice that it said this mighty angel when it was described? The scripture, John used the word another. Okay, that word means another of the same kind in Greek. So it would be another angel. Not another Savior, okay? So it's very important. So this angel comes down from heaven to the earth. Nowhere in Revelation do you find Jesus coming to earth until we get to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and that is the second coming. So now we move in this description of this angel. We move to his hand and to his 2 feet, if you will. Look at verse 2. And he, the mighty angel, look what he had. He had what kind of book? Little book, okay? A Biblos in Greek. We get our word Bible, all right? So he had this angel had a little book, and this book, look at it now, was open, and it was in his hand. Now, I don't want you to confuse the little book, if you don't mind, with the scroll sealed with the 7 seals, which Jesus opened in chapter 5. And the reason is because scroll and the little book, 2 different Greek words are used, all right? Now, so let me give you about 4, maybe 5 reasons why I feel this way about the little book, The Angel, and so forth. And I'm not in any chronological order here. I just listed them, and I want to read exactly what I said. The first one, I said this. Number one, this is a very strange little book. Why? Verse 9. It's the only book that I've ever found that can be eaten and digested, all right? Now, second thing is, when it comes to the angel, no angel in heaven, no one in heaven, in all of the universe was found worthy to open the book, touch the book, hold the book, except one person. Who is that? Jesus Christ our Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The other thing I want you to remember, the third thing, is that the scroll sealed with the seven seals in chapter 5, remember that it was written on all of the front and all of the back, meaning there's nothing else could be added. And when Jesus opened the seven seals, everything, the judgments, they were revealed. Amen? But the contents of this little book, they are not going to be revealed in our study, okay? So there's a major difference there. And not only that, this mighty angel is somebody, I mean, it's extraordinary. And he had to be gigantic. Why? Well, verse 2, and he set his right foot on the sea, his left foot on the land. I mean, we're talking about a gigantic spread here, okay? I say he had to be gigantic because of that. You know, in the Talmud, the Jews, they mentioned in the Talmud, the rabbis, that there was an angel named Sandalphon whose height was 500 miles taller than all the other angels. Now, I don't know, but I can tell you if that's true, this is a big angel, amen? That's why he is a mighty angel. So what does it mean to put one foot in the sea, one foot upon the earth? He's doing something. He is reclaiming what belongs to someone else, which is God Almighty, amen? Listen, he's taking back what belongs to that rightful owner, and God is reclaiming what belongs to him, and that's the whole world that Adam sold out to the devil with, amen? Now, man has a problem. Man thinks that they really own this planet. You ever notice that? You know, and the devil, he thinks he owns it too. He's defeated. We'll learn about him later. But you know what? When you think about the size of the earth and owning the earth, I remember when Queen Elizabeth, when she was alive, okay, you know, she held, ready for this? This is a fact. She held title to about 6.8 billion acres of land. Did you know that is 1/6 of the entire planet? She was the largest landowner ever, the world's largest landowner. Now, but only God's word tells us who really owns the world. Amen? And the owner of the world is the one who created the world. All right? The Bible says, the Psalm of David in Psalm 24, 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's. That should just settle it. It's his. Amen? And all its fullness, meaning the land, the sea, every inch of it, the world, and all those who dwell therein, for God has founded it upon the seas, established it upon the waters. Now, that is an incredible statement from King David, okay? I mean, think, David never traveled 100 miles away from his home, and yet he made this word right here. So everything, even our breath, God owns, amen? We're only a tenant. We're just hanging out here, okay? Now, look at verse 3. Look what this mighty angel did. He has a message for the whole world. Watch. He cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered or sounded their voices. So this angel, this message to the whole world, when he roars, and they said, well, see, that's Jesus. No, that's not Jesus. He is roaring because the Lion of the tribe of Judah is on the way. Amen. He's going to return. So the judge of all the earth is going to be coming back. That's the second coming. It says in Jeremiah 25:30, when he prophesied, he said, oh, when he comes, the Lord will roar from upon high. He will roar mightily. And it says against all the inhabitants of the earth. And then it says, and when he, the mighty angel, cried out, seven thunders uttered or sounded their what? Their voices. Now, if you look that up in the Greek, it means sounded their own voices that belonged to them, are the voices that they possessed, okay? So the seven thunders, to me, whenever they sounded, it means that what was heard to John was understood. He understood what was being said, if you will. And it seems to me, and I'm said seems, okay? It seems that the seven thunders uttered seven different messages to John, all right? He heard those things. Now, you say, well, Bill, who are they? Well, is it Jesus? Is it angels that are uttering that? Or is it God Almighty? I think maybe it might be God the Father. And the reason I say that is if later on, if you'll read Psalm 29, verses 3 through 10, you'll find that it says in there, seven times the voice of the Lord thunders. Seven times. So maybe it is the Lord God. I don't know. But whatever it is, it really happened. Now, what did the seven thunders say? Look at verse 4. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, John says, you know, I was about to write. Remember all the way back in chapter 1, verse 19, he was commanded to write the things that he sees and hears. So he was doing exactly what he was told. He says, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven, we don't know who it is, saying to me, and this is a command, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. Man, you remember when Paul the Apostle, I think it's in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 4, right in that area. Remember, Paul says, I was such a man that was caught up into paradise, and I heard inexpressible things which man is forbidden to utter or to sound. In other words, Paul says, I could not write them. And that's exactly what is writing here. John heard, but John could not record what he heard, okay? And so this is the only place in the book of Revelation where things are sealed instead of revealed. Now, I know that somebody's probably going to go, well, I'm going to do a study. I'm going to figure out who the seven thunders are, da-da-da-da-da. Listen to me. No one knows, okay? I mean, people have written books on this. You know, what the seven thunders uttered or sounded, nobody knows. If you hear anyone, a pastor or a TV preacher or whatever, and they say, I know what the seven thunders are, just run. Just that simple. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. So it's a mystery what they said, all right? It's a mystery. And don't try to solve it, because you can't solve a mystery from God. You can't do it yourself. God has to tell you what it is. Amen? Okay, look at 10:5. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his hand, in the some of the other translations, raised his right hand, okay, like a court of law. And look what he did. Hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives for how long? Forever and ever. Do you know that expression occurs more in Revelation than any other New Testament book? Who lives forever and ever. And look now, we know who that is. That's God the Father. Amen. It says, who created heaven and the things that are in it. Who created the earth and the things that are in it. And who created the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. So the emphasis on verse 5 is God as creator. What is he doing? He is repossessing the universe, the earth. He's repossessing everything that belongs to him, which has been marred by sin and the devil and all the rest of them. So this angel takes an oath to the eternal living God, the creator of all things, the one who loves us and the one who cannot lie. And he swore, not by himself, he swore by another. Now he is an angel. He takes an oath. This cannot be Jesus. Jesus doesn't have to take an oath. He is God. Do you understand? Very, very important. So the creation of this world that we live in, you know, there are seven major theories on the origin of the universe and the earth. And if you ever study out science and all that, like we know, the most prominent would be the Big Bang Theory, right? I don't even know what that is. It's a Big Bang, okay? But I know that verse 5 and 6 is very clear. God created all things. And there's only two ways to look at this. A person is either going to believe the creation account, it's God, or they're going to believe man's theories. You follow me? You know, God asked a great question. He would love to ask this to scientists and all the people today, but he asked a great question to Job. Remember Job in 38:4, he says this to Job, "Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" In other words, he was going, "Where are you? I don't see you anyplace." He says, "Well, then tell me if you have understanding." Well, he doesn't. You know, God, who is at creation? Moses didn't even understand creation had God not told him in the book of Genesis. Amen? When Moses started writing that down, it was like, to him, it's going, "You got to be kidding. That's how you do it. Okay, wow." And then how about that one verse when it says, "And God created the stars." Five words or whatever. Hello. That's all it was. No, listen. God is the creator of all things. Write down Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17. Read that when you get home. Now, look at here again at the end of verse 6, that there should be what? Delay. Say that. Delay no longer. That word is chronos in the Greek, so it means time. There are those that teach that they say, okay, this means that time will cease to exist. It doesn't mean that at all. What the angel's oath does mean when he took that there, yes, there is a time limit. Therefore, there should be a delay no longer, and a delay about what? Verse 7. In other words, the seventh trumpet judgment is about to sound. So that means that the prayers of the tribulation saints, oh man, it's about to be answered because time is now starting to run out for the inhabitants of those on earth, the unbelievers. So we live right now in the divine time of God's delay, don't we? Right now, the long-suffering of God. In other words, he wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and so forth. So he wants them all to come to repentance and so forth. The world, God loves the world, the people of the world. And it says there should be no longer delay. Now watch verse 7, and watch the word days. It's plural. But in the days, meaning the seventh trumpet, okay, of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, that happens in chapter 11, verse 15, when he is about to sound, and here it is, the mystery of God, the hidden secret plan of God that is impossible to find out, the mystery of God would be what? Finished, teleo, completely finished, completely fulfilled, as he, meaning God, declared to his servants, the prophets. And so the divine patience and long-suffering of God is now coming to an end. God is getting ready to wrap all the things up on planet Earth. And the word finished is very important because it means it has never occurred. Like the preterists teach that, you know, this has already happened. It hasn't happened. It is yet future. Amen? Very important to look at it that way. Now, what did God declare to his servants and the prophets? You could go back to Ezekiel, Daniel, all the way through. All the prophets declared this. One day, God is going to judge man's sin. Amen? And then he's going to usher in his kingdom, the millennial reign, there on earth. But look right now. I want you to look over at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. All you have to do is look right across the page, I hope. And look at this with me. And it says, then the seventh angel sounded. Now, that's the seventh trumpet judgment, okay? Which when that sounds, it starts the seven bowl judgments, all right? It says, so the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven. And look what they said. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. The kingdoms of this world. In context here, though, it means the kingdom, the world itself, which is under the rule of the Antichrist, under the rule of Satan, if you will. So the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And I love this. And he, not man, He, Jesus, and He shall reign forever and ever and ever.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message when we return on Monday, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We want to thank you so much for listening today. God bless, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.